I ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 20. Genesis, chapter 20. I'd like to finish this chapter tonight, but bringing us up to where we ended last time, in this chapter, we behold two great truths of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. First, we observe the struggle between the old man and the new man. And secondly, we perceive the indescribable mercy of God toward the objects of His grace. Now, concerning that first point, the struggle between the old man and the new man, Abraham, out of fear of being killed for Sarah's sake, because of her beauty, she's 90 years old, he told her to say, to agree with him, he was going to tell everybody that he came in contact with that she was his sister. And he wanted her to agree with him, which she did. And when she told, and he told, the king of Gerar that he was her brother, she was his sister, he took her into his palace. But God intervened and came to Abimelech in a dream and declared unto him who she really was and told him, "You're a dead man. The God of all truth, in the midst of Abraham's deception, told Abimelech, 'I want you to restore the man, his wife, for he's a prophet.' And as a prophet, God's prophet, he's accepted of God in Christ. And this prophet is going to pray for you." You know, we see that old man in us. We see it. But oh, the struggle that we have not only within but without when others see something of our inconsistencies. Here the Lord told Abimelech, "This man that told you that Sarah was his sister, she's not his sister. She's his wife. If you touch her, I'm going to kill you. And this man's a prophet. And he's going to pray for you. And I'm going to hear his prayer." Now that's mercy. That's mercy. We need to give much care. Turn with me to Philippians 1:27. We've got to be careful, seeking the Lord, asking the Lord, keep us, direct us. Philippians 1, verse 27, concerning our walk before men. The scripture says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We see ourselves as we really are. We're born in Adam, we're feeble, spiritually poor, stumbling, inconsistent, wretched creatures. That's what Paul said of himself. "Oh, wretched man that I am." But being who we are in Christ and knowing that the Lord God of heaven sees us in Christ. Now listen to this. In Christ, without spot. without blemish, or any such thing. That which is born of God sinneth not. It cannot sin because it's born of God. That new creation, vitally joined with the Lord Jesus Christ, that new man, born from above, that's who God says we are in Christ. But all the struggles that we have in our flesh. So that's the tenor of this 20th chapter right here. But there's one other thing that I want us to look at tonight. It's a blessed revelation concerning the type and figure of Abimelech, the king. And in him, I want us to consider for a few minutes a picture, a shadow of God's mercy to undeserving sinners. I want to look at Abimelech. Now, I don't know if Abimelech was a believer. I don't know if he was or not. May have been, some say he was, some say what. I don't know. Scripture doesn't bear it out. But I can tell you that he's in picture and type. There's some things about this man that set forth the character of a believer. All because of God's mercy to him. God's grace, not because of anything in Abimelech or anything me and you. I don't know where he stood with God, but I can tell you this. I can see a picture of God's people in him. Now let me see if I can make good on this. Look at verse 3. Here he's got Sarah in his palace now. Abraham told him that he was Sarah's brother. That's what Abraham told him. Sarah was privy to it and she went along with it. That's what he knows. That's what Abimelech knows. This is this man's sister. So he's got her in his palace there. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife." Now I'll say this. What he did ignorantly. But let me ask you again. Have we not all found, or were we not all found in the ignorance of our era? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 13 to 14. Now here's us. Here's what Scripture says about us before the Lord revealed himself to us in mercy. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13, 14. "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Abimelech was a man who had another man's wife. And God said, "I'm going to kill you. You touch her. I kept you. The Lord came to the king. He came to Abimelech. And here's Abimelech trying to defend himself concerning his integrity with Sarah. But he was mercifully corrected by the Lord. The Lord corrected him. And here we're taught something of God's compassion. Not to leave his elect, his sheep, not to leave them to perish in their ignorance. Consider the mercy of God that came to this man. If God left him alone, what's God going to do to him? He's going to kill him. He'll kill him. But the Lord came to him. And does the Lord not come to us? Does he not cross our paths with the hearing of the gospel? Here we see the mercy of Almighty God not to leave us alone. Truly, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. What compassion. It was Saul of Tarsus on his road to Damascus. He's got papers of authority in his hands, and he's going to go and he's going to take those of the way and he's going to bring them back bound to Jerusalem to suffer the consequences. And Almighty God arrests him, stops him from sinning against God, stops him in his tracks, just as he's done all of his people. He stopped them. I'm telling you, there's not a bit of difference between any of us here when it comes to the mercy of God Almighty that just stopped us. If you'd left it up to me, I ain't coming. I have no desire. I had no desire whatsoever. No love for the gospel, no love for Christ. I was doing just fine. And Almighty God was pleased to stop me. He comes to Abimelech. And when he came to Abimelech pleaded his own integrity. But again, the Lord revealed to him that it was God's good pleasure to stop him, to restrain him. And then the Lord revealed unto him God's appointed means of mediation between the sinner and the Lord God of heaven, a priest. Look at verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet. He shall pray for thee, thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. God is going to be approached by a priest, a mediator, an advocate. Men don't just approach God. Men are approached in his priest. Abraham was, according to the word of the Lord, God's priest. Oh, a true and perfect type and picture of a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever liveth to make intercession for his people, the one accepted of God, who pleads his own merit, the efficacy of his own blood shed for his people. I died for them. I bore their guilt. I live before you. The priest himself, accepted of God, he who has suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. And then with the revelation of God's mercy to Abimelech, another beautiful characteristic of a regenerated sinner was made manifest. God told him what to do in verse 7. What did he say? Restore the man his wife. That's what he said. What did Abimelech do? Look at verse 8. And verse 8. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, told all the things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Now, you talk about mercy. What do God's people do? In the day of God's power, they're willing. They come. They move. Noah moved with fear. He heard what God said, and there was an urgency. He got up early in the morning. I don't know how early, but I guarantee you, it was early. He woke up, and he went. And there's one thing I noticed about this. He rose up early in the morning, and here's a characteristic of a believer. And told all those things in their ears. He didn't embellish it. He didn't try to water it down, build it up. He told them, this is what God said. This is what he said right here. This is what we do. We tell men in their ears what the Lord has said. That's all we do. A preacher rehearses in the ears of his hearer what the Lord has to say. And that's all he wants to say, and that's all the believers want to hear. And the scripture says, and the men were sore afraid. There was fear, there was respect for what the king was saying that God had said to him. He was obedient. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The king heard that arresting message of God's warning, and he repeated it to his hearers. And not only was there found to be respect for God's word found within the king, but is also found to be the king, King Abimelech. He was also found to be the means of God's correction to the very one that God had sent into Abimelech's country, Abraham and Sarah. Look at verse 9 and 10. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee? What have you done? And what did I do to you to cause you to say what you said? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? Was there something that you saw or heard, or was there something that caused you to jump to this conclusion? I don't get it. Why? Why'd you tell me that she was your sister? Why'd you do that? The Lord came and told me what was going on, and now you've brought this great sin upon us. Why did you do that? You know, there was found to be respect for the word of the Lord. And he related to Abraham. He related to Abraham, this is what you did. Turn with me to Galatians 6:1. Galatians chapter 6:1. This is a blessing. Sometimes a very painful blessing, but a blessing. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and obviously Abraham was. He was overtaken in a fault. Sarah wasn't his sister the way he wanted him to believe that she was. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. That is, in submission unto the Lord. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, Abimelech, he wasn't hard, mean. He just straightforward. He said, Abraham, I want to know something. Why did you do what you did? You brought this. Why? You know, brethren, we're redeemed children of God. We're redeemed children of God. The blood of Christ has been shed for us. The Lord has borne our guilt and carried our sorrows. He was stricken of God. He was afflicted of God. And the Lord's put away our debt. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. There's no condemnation. But I'm going to tell you something. We're still indwelt by this old man. We still struggle. And the motions of sin and the desires of our flesh are still there. The Spirit of God was pleased to show us. Abraham was a man that believed God. He believed God. Now the Scripture bears that. Father of the faithful. Father of the faithful. Example of how God saves a sinner. And keeps him. Guides him. Directs him. Holds him. Won't let him go. But this man right here was like all of us. He had an old man in him. And he struggled with it. And God used this king, Abimelech. Again, was he a believer? I don't know. But he did what we're admonished to do in Galatians chapter 6. And when we stumble, it's right that our stumbling be addressed in kindness, meekness, according to the leadership and direction of God's Spirit. And if we speak to a brother or a sister, let's be careful not to come to them with a holier than thou attitude, thinking that ourselves are above reproach, but rather in a spirit of humility and meekness, for we know that we all have that potential to commit any sin. See, I tell you what, I may do this, but I'd never do that. Don't ever say you won't do that. Because I'm telling you, the Scriptures are filled with men that knew God, that were just before God, who did succumb to the temptation of their flesh. David, Noah, Lot. How many? Me, you, all of us. We stand alone by the grace of God. But with the words of rebuke from Abimelech came this confession from Abraham. Look at verses 11 to 13. And Abraham said, because I thought. Oh boy. Now here's where we often find ourselves in trouble. I thought. You know, there was a man named Naaman. Remember that, Neil? He was a leper. Captain of the host of the king of Syria, his army. Man, by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Assyria. But he was a leper. A little maid there said, there's a prophet. Prophet. He went over and he going to Elijah. And Elijah sent his servant out there. Prophet didn't even go out. Said, go dip in Jordan River 7 times. He said, the Jordan River? He said, we got better rivers than that back where I come from. I ain't doing that. Remember his servant said, yeah, you know, he was leaving. He's mad. He said, if the prophet would have asked you to do something hard, you'd have done that. But he just said, go dip in the river. Won't you do that? But he goes back. And he comes up and he said, I thought that you'd come out and I thought you'd do this. This is what Abraham did. I thought. That's where we get in trouble. What does God say? That's what we need to think right there. This is what the Lord says. I thought. You know, I thought. Surely the fear of God is not in this place. How did he know that? How did he know that? And they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he's my brother. You know the thing I noticed in that confession? We always try to put a pleasant twist on our frailty and our inconsistency. And she, well, okay, he said, I thought that there was, the fear of God wasn't here. And really, she is my sister. You know, a half-truth is a lie. She was his half-sister. She was his half-sister. But that's not the way he said it. If we say something and we say it in a way that we just kind of glaze over the truth of it, it's a lie. It's a deception is what it is. And that's what we wanted to do. Even in his confession, that struggle with the old man is still there. Oh, how wonderful it is. When God brings man to woman, you know I was talking about, turn to Psalm 51. I was talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about prayer and I was sharing with him about how hard it is to pray openly. Now you know, you that know him, you know what I'm saying. There's a big difference in praying unto the Lord in your closet and leading in prayer. You men, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Why? I'll tell you why. We just can't get honest in front of anybody but the Lord. Listen to David. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the tender mercy, to a multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Listen, let me tell you something. There's some things that every believer knows in his heart that he's done. He knows he did it. And in the closet, we can just be honest. Lord, this is what I thought. Lord, you know it already. I'm just telling you what you know. You know what I thought. You know the evil that I thought. You know that spirit that I thought it in. You know what I did. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I can't say that in front of you. I can't bear my heart to God in front of you. And what Abraham's done, he kind of misinterpreted her relationship, Sarah's relationship to him. She really is my sister. I mean, it's just no. I lied. I lied to you. Lied to you. Oh, but here's the promise. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Oh, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And with the admittance of Abraham concerning his attempt to justify himself, admitting to Abimelech what he had done, I want you to consider as we wrap this up, the spirit of graciousness found in Abimelech. Look at 14:16. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen, men servants, women servants, gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. She was corrected for what she did. She went along with it. You know. Abimelech exhibited that which a believer is admonished to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You know, retaliating and seeking vengeance, is that's not to be the way of God's people. Holding grudges. Remember old Maurice Montgomery, how many times I've told you? One of the last things I remember Maurice telling me before he died, Marvin, you can always be gracious. Always be gracious. Man, life. How many times have I tried to remember that? We're to endure injuries with patience and show kindness toward those who have injured us. What did Abraham do to Abimelech? He lied to him. Put him in a very tough situation. God came to him, stopped him. Wouldn't let him touch her. He said, I'll kill you, you touch her. He comes to Abraham, and Abraham kind of sideswipes it a little bit. Confesses, but doesn't come clean. Doesn't come, he just kind of glazes it over. He said, And what does Abimelech do? He said, here's all this. You see the land? Take whatever you want. Here's men servants, maid servants, And concerning Sarah, that word of reproof that was given unto her, Abimelech in verse 16 used the same word that she used. And the scripture says in the last part of verse 16, and thus she was reproved. He reproved her. The Lord did, Spirit of God did, through Abimelech. But what did he do? He said, now who was Abraham to Sarah? Her husband. Who did she say he was? My brother. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I've given thy brother. Don't you know that just... that cut her. Given him 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, here's Abimelech telling Sarah who Abraham is. This is your husband. This is your husband, Sarah. Don't say he's your brother. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes to protect you, a veil to you, and to all unto all that are with thee. This is the one that loves you. This is one that's taken you to be his wife, to love you and cherish you, watch over you. And he said, I've given 1,000 pieces of silver for restitution to you for the harm that was done to you. I've given 1,000 pieces of silver. That's what he said. Behold, I've given thy brother, Abraham, 1,000 pieces of silver. That was restitution. A payment for harm is what it is. Harm that was done to her. And who was the guilty parties? Who were the guilty parties, really? Abraham and Sarah. And what did Abimelech do? And here's a glorious picture of a believer, yes, but even more so here, right here. Here's a picture of Christ. Here's one to whom the harm was done. The sin was committed against Abimelech. And what did Abimelech do? He gave restitution. He gave all for them. The ones that were offended, The ones that had offended, I mean. The ones that had offended. 1,000 pieces of silver. She was put into bondage, into harm's way. And Abimelech gave 1,000 pieces of silver to Abraham for the harm that was done to her. He took the burden himself and gave it to Abraham. And concerning our bondage, let me ask you this. Were we not the guilty parties? And was our debt not paid by another? Who really owed the debt there? Who owed the debt? Abraham and Sarah. They were the offending parties. Who bore the debt? Who bore the debt? Abimelech. We were the recipients of God's mercy. Deserving death. And the restitution. The restoring of that which was lost before God. A restitution for that. The debt that was paid. The restoring of that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ took it and bore it. Paid it himself. So Abraham prayed unto God. And God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. And they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Oh, the closing words of this chapter. I want you to note the mercy of Almighty God toward all that was involved. The Lord had said that Abraham would pray for Abimelech. And he did. Abraham prayed for the king, his wife, his maidservants, those whose wombs had been fast closed up. Closed up, the scripture says, for Sarah's sake. Because of the treatment that she received. And the guilty party, Sarah and Abraham, they received all the blessing. They got all the blessing. Abraham prayed unto God Almighty for Abimelech and our great high priest. Prays for us. We're the offending party. And that those wounds that had been closed up because of the harm that was done to Sarah, God was pleased to bless, give life. Oh, the life that we've received in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture of God's mercy to undeserving sinners. I pray God bless it to our hearts. For Christ's sake and our good. Amen. Okay, Gary.